super stoked to have a Canadian icon here in the studio with me, Jay Ferguson of Sloan.
Right on, Aaron. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the kind remark, Canadian icon. Maybe I should get that put on a t-shirt, but I don't know if that sounds good. Thank you.
Welcome, man. Appreciate you taking the time to have this interview with me. You're flying solo today. The other guys must be a little tired from your show last night.
Yeah, it was good. We played, where did we play? We played in Calgary. We're sort of making our way across, I guess, eastward across the prairies. And yeah, I played Calgary last night. Fantastic show. It was great. Like, sold out, jam-packed. And yeah, we just drove overnight and just got here moments ago, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to playing tonight. We haven't played in Regina in a while, so.
Yeah, you're at the Casino Regina Show Lounge. Yeah. You know, I was looking at tickets, mm-hmm. and there's not many left, which has got to make you feel pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, no, we've been very fortunate that the shows on this Western run have either been sold out or almost sold out. So it's been the great crowd so far, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you're no stranger to Regina. You've been around the block a time or two.
Been here many times, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What establishment do you guys like to hit up in Regina that's kind of one of your favorites?
I'd have to think about it. I know that right now, Andrew plays drums in Sloan, and Gregory, who's our keyboard player, they have immediately gone to an antique mall that's sort of on the other side of the train track, so they're very excited about that. And I know there's a couple of record stores in the vicinity that I think I might try and hit up. So that's my favorite thing on tour, is going to record stores.
You guys have been a group and a band for over 30 years, right? I don't want to age you or anything.
No,
like
it's
that,
fine. We're aware.
That's a good run, right? Like 1991. And
that's right. Yeah.
It's very rare that a band stays together with its core group for for that long. Do you guys have a secret to how you stick together like glue?
I don't know what the exact secret is, but you're right. It'll be 35 years this January that we've been together, same members. And we have Gregory, who plays with us live as well. Fifth member, who's been with us since 2006, so he's been with us already a long time. The secret, I don't know, my joke is always that we've never been so insanely, stratospheric successful that we've been able to quit, nor have we been so, unfortunately, have not done well enough that we were forced to quit. So we're basically in that sort of medium range where it's kind of, without speaking about it in sort of plain language, but it's kind of our job. It's a creative job, and it's the way we make our living, and that's kind of what's kept us together. And also, it's an artistic outlet for everybody in the band. Everybody in our band sings and writes and has the opportunity to contribute songs to albums and sing them live. So there's not like the disgruntled bass player who's got a million songs and has no outlet for them. Everybody has the chance to sing and participate in Sloan. And so I think that is one of the things that keeps our band together. And also just like sharing the proceeds of everything. It's a very democratic institution, Sloan is. So yeah. I think that will keep your band together. And it's done it for us anyhow.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with some bands. Some guys feel like they're not a main contributing part, or they're a little bit left on the outside, and then that can cause turmoil and stuff. So
sure, yeah.
I love that you guys are, equal parts. Everyone brings something to the table.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And in the end, you're all, pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, I like to think so. Because there's a lot of disparate elements on our records, like people have different writing styles, and we've been criticized for making compilation albums. But to me, those are the kind of records that I like whether it's, Second Side of Abbey Road or the Beatles' White Album or things like that are, more eclectic in nature. And those are my favorite kind of records. And those are the kind of records we end up making. And I think I don't want to speak for everybody in the band, but I think that's the kind of records that we end up making. And our fans seem to like it too. We're very fortunate that there's still a lot of people following our band since day one. And we've picked up fans halfway, but I feel it's funny. I'll meet like some 16-year-olds who are like, I just heard your band last year, and now I went back and I'm buying the old albums, and getting it. Yeah. So it's encouraging. There's, the first wave of fans, and now their children, their kids are getting into Sloan. So it's been encouraging all along, for sure.
Their parents raised them right.
Yeah.
It's got to make you feel pretty good.
Look, you listen to eat your vegetables and listen to Sloan.
Yeah. I know you guys, 14 albums, right? Mm-hmm. That's no cakewalk. Right? Yeah. That's a lot of hard time and effort into that.
Yeah.
And you bring a lot of energy into those albums,
right?
Mm-hmm. how do you guys determine which direction you're going to go with an album?
So if everybody, like I said, when everybody sings and writes, it's, you know, it would be hard for us, I think, to make not like a concept record, but like a theme. It's like, hey, okay, we're going to make an acoustic album. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or we're making, I don't know, like a synthesizer album or something. I think it would be hard to get everybody on board to do one specific direction. So yeah, like making the records, it's because, for example, for me or anybody, really, you only have to write 3 or 4 songs every couple of years to contribute to a Sloan record because everybody's contributing. You know, it's not super hard. I think if there was one songwriter, I imagine those bands are very hard. Or, I mean, maybe certain songwriters are very prolific for a very long time, whether it's like Bob Dylan or Elvis Costello or somebody like that. They just seem to have a never-ending bag of songs.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, making a Sloan record, it's not an incredible challenge, but it's the only challenge would be is if we really wanted to make something that was under an umbrella, like I said, like an acoustic album or something like that. I think it'd be hard to get everybody to agree, but everybody kind of just has their own quarter of real estate on the record, and you can sort of do what you want. And I think that, you know, if say I had a few demo recordings, I might play them for Chris and he might be like, oh, I really like that song. That encourages me to pursue that song. Or, you know, and same with maybe he has some songs and I'll be like, oh, I have a neat guitar part for that song. Yeah. And like, okay, well, let's pursue that one. So I think, you know, you sort of do what you want within Sloan, but you can take encouragement and ideas from others if you want. And I think that's kind of nice because then I think if you have other people who are interested or supportive of your song, then they'll enjoy recording that song or playing that song live or whatever. So it's kind of like it's a bit of a balance of doing what you want, but also keeping an eye on what other people in your band are, which songs that they're nudging you towards or interested in, you know what I mean? But in the end, it's kind of like, it's your own choice in the end for your own songs, for sure.
It's almost like a game of Tetris almost. You see kind of what pieces fit in there, right?
Yes, and then you exactly, go along with that. It's like, oh, we need a 3-minute song. Okay, well, I got one. It'll fit perfectly. Or you know what? We have a minute and a half shy on one side. Okay, I got a really short song. Let's put that
in. Well, and there you go. Sometimes you don't need to write a 4.5-5-minute long song. Like,
that's right.
Good in everyone. 2 minutes, boom.
Yeah, that's right. It's great.
It's a banger, too.
If we had knew that that's all you needed, then, geez, we should have just done that forever. Yeah.
If only that it was that easy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know you want to talk about your new album. It's based on the bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats, by the way, on that. You just released that 2 months ago, correct?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, in the third week of September.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like getting together and putting an album together today's day and age, mm-hmm. 30 years, you know, down the road, as opposed to your first couple albums?
I would say like there was a lot more in the early days. The first couple albums, there's definitely a lot more playing live off the floor where we're all playing in a room together or at least learning the songs like that. The way we make records now is, you know, maybe you'd make a demo recording at home or something like that and you sort of bring it in and play it for the others or pass email them around and say like, oh, what do you think or whatever. And then when we go into record, we might just do the drums first in Chris's garage. We did a lot of the drums in Chris's garage this time around. And then we took them to our engineer's house and recorded the guitars there and the vocals. So it's very piecemeal. But for an album like Twice Removed, for example, which we recorded, that's our second album from 1994. And we recorded that in New York City at Lenny Kravitz's studio. And he's got a big open room. So a lot of that was recorded live off the floor. And our first album even actually was recorded a little bit piecemeal because it was recorded in a house in Halifax. That was our first album, Smeared, with Underwhelmed and 500 Up and things like that. So that was recorded a little bit piecemeal. But in general, yeah, the earlier ones, there might have been a little more playing the songs ahead of time. But mm-hmm. now it's definitely more like you make the demo, then we go and record it kind of piecemeal. And then at the end, it's like once the record is done, then you kind of have to learn how to play the record live. So it's kind of backwards, I think, you know, from the way a lot of bands work. But that's kind of the way we operate these days, yeah.
Yeah, you got to adapt, right?
And yeah, exactly, just
roll with the changes in the times.
Well, for sure. And just without sounding like a complete Luddite, but the, you know, technology has helped, you know, the recording process by leaps and bounds. And, you know, you can record stuff at home that is worth, you know, putting onto the record. You know, you could record a guitar part in such a great quality that you could bring it in and just sort of put it into the mix And I think that's I prefer recording together or recording at a studio, but there's always that option of, you know, oh, I have an idea and you put it down at home and you can bring it into the studio. So that's I don't think it's hindered, but it's definitely helped in a lot of situations for sure. Yeah.
The new single off the album too, it's Dream Destroyer, correct? Yeah. Why this one? Why did you want to be this one to be the first one out of the gate?
I don't, you know, we usually allow, like, I think in our spirit of sharing everything, whether it's, you know, the proceeds from songwriting proceeds or whatever, I think that helps nobody fighting for what the single is going to be. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, Every Breath You Take is going to be the single, so therefore Sting is going to be, you know, way more, you know, the gulf between him and Andy Summers is going to be huge. So we kind of usually let the radio, our radio promotion guy sort of listen to everything and kind of let him choose, or he'll choose a couple and be like, this is what I think I want to go with. What do you think? And we don't want to hint, like, give the radio promoter any sort of roadblock. We want him to be confident with what he wants to go with. And he felt Dream Destroyer was the choice. And it's a Patrick song, and Patrick songs are often radio singles, Good and Everyone. Money City Maniacs is sort of him and Chris. Everything You Done Wrong, Unkind. If It Feels Good, Do It. Patrick's got a lot of radio songs. So often the rock radio track leans towards a Patrick song, but I think there's other songs. There's a song called Live Forever by Chris that I think could have been a strong radio song as well, but we just sort of like leave it a little bit hands off. We like them all. Whichever one wants to go and be the radio one, we're usually fine with that. So
and then at the end, whoever song gets chosen, they walk around shoulders high.
Exactly. Yeah. And now we're all like, oh brother, Patrick again. Yeah,
another one. Yeah, that's another notch.
Right, so it's
belt.
Only ego that can be hurt. It's not our. Yeah, that's it.
No, I love that you guys have that like brotherly connection. You know, when it comes to writing the music, putting it together, and you guys all kind of hold each other up in the whole process.
I like to think Chris uses the analogy of Sloan as a mutual fund, and that like if someone's stock is low and like, oh, I only got a couple songs, oh, I have four, and they can, you know, they have more, maybe someone else has a better radio song than someone else. So whatever, if someone's stock is low, someone else's stock is high, and it sort of keeps everybody on the same
balances
field.
It
exactly,
out, right? Yeah. I mentioned there's not many tickets available for you guys to show tonight at the Casino Regina Show Lounge. Jay, if somebody's sitting on their couch and they aren't doing anything tonight and you need to encourage them to go buy a couple tickets to your show, what do you guys bring to the stage when you're performing?
If you're a casual fan, you're going to hear the hits. The hits you want to know, you're going to hear Money City Maniacs. You're going to hear The Other Men. You probably hear The Good in Everyone. If you're a fan who just leapt on with this brand new album, potentially we're going to be playing a lot of new songs. But also if you're someone who has been with us and gone to a lot of Sloan shows, and if you're wondering if you should go again, we also play a lot of deep album cuts for the fan who's seen us a lot. So I think there's something for everybody. Yeah, so come on down. Don't spend your money at the casino. Just go straight to the merch booth and buy a ticket, and come see us play tonight. It'll be great.
I love it. Do you want to introduce the new song, Dream Destroyer, on The Wolf here?
Right on. Okay, hey, this is Jay from the band Sloan, and we'll be playing this song tonight here in Regina. This is from our brand new album. The song is called Dream Destroyer.
Excellent. Right on.